Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Book of Galatians, chapter number 1. And we're going to start reading at verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writes this, I marvel, or I'm amazed, that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I want to talk to you for a while this morning on another gospel. Another gospel. We're living in a day where there are so many dwelling places, so to speak, and so many voices, amen, that one's listened to, that division is at an all-time high today in many congregations. It's like if you can't get your way in a congregation, they just take that attitude and go to another and keep going until they find one that thinks the way they do, and then they try that for a while longer. This Galatian letter kind of sums up what's taken today and place today in many churches. It's the duty of the watchman. The watchman on the wall to cry out when they see the enemy approaching or entering the camp. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 6. Ezekiel 33, verse number 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. And this is what was going on at Galatia. Judaizers, I call them, bringing in another gospel, troubling the work of God, and one's losing out, eventually falling from grace. Paul had established those churches, and he addressed it as the churches at Galatia. He established those churches at Galatia on his first missionary journey. There was the east part of Galatia, it's a region, and also the west part. Galatians 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle, he said, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, he says, unto the churches of Galatia. There were several churches of God. Amen. Not only in the east and west, but in the south and the northern part also of Galatia. But here in our text, the first thing the Apostle Paul had to do, amen, was defend his authority as an apostle. Galatians, the first chapter, verse 1, he said, an apostle, what's he say? Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What's he saying? He stated that he was called personally by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Then he puts out a warning immediately. in this epistle by adhering to another gospel. He starts the sixth verse of the first chapter with the words, he says these words, I marvel, you're so soon removed from him and called you, amen, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The words, I marvel, show us what? The Apostle Paul was astonished that this was going taking place at Galatia. I believe around the second time now he's come to Galatia, and he's finding that congregation not as it was when he set it up. Something took place. He said, I marvel. I'm amazed. I'm shocked. Amen. At what he saw going on. The Greek word for that word means he wondered. He wondered. Let's look at the Word of God. How amazed is used elsewhere in the Bible. I'm not trying to make a play on words, but this word amazed, Apostle Paul used that. It means to wonder. All right, Revelation 17 and 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Or he was amazed. Amen. And when he saw Mystery Babylon. Look how John used it. Here the word I say is used as wondered. Amen. And it comes from the same Greek word as amazed. John got caught up in appearance, and it mystified him. John was so carried away with Mystery Babylon that he wondered, or he was amazed, and had great admiration. 1 John 3 and 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. Otherwise, don't wonder. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. But it's not you they hate. It's what you represent. It's what you stand for that causes hatred to arise. What was Paul actually saying to the Galatians? Another translation says it this way. Galatians 1 and 6. I marvel that you are so quickly removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. Here in this letter, amen, we can read right in the first chapter, Paul and the gospel were both under attack. Judaizers, which were converted to Christianity, held on to such things, and you can read it as you go through the book, as circumcision. They felt special gifts and promises belonged to the Jews themselves. They held to the thought that the Gentiles could become Christians, but there were certain things pertaining to the law they still must observe. Judaizers were hindering the work of God at Galatia, and the church, the congregation, as a whole, was slipping and actually falling from grace. Things were beginning to appear that once were put away. Brethren were being moved by those who held out for the law, and it caused dissension, amen, amongst the people. In Acts the 15th chapter, the brethren came together to consider this problem. In Acts the 15th chapter, verse number 5, amen, they're dealing with some Jews here now. So the apostles are called in. And we're beginning to read in verse number 5. Here they are trying to settle the question whether they should allow certain portions of the law to be involved, amen, in the Christian faith. Verse 5 says, the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But not only was the gospel under attack, but so wasn't the Apostle Paul. They attacked, I say, his authority, his calling. Amen. If you remember right, Matthias was chosen to be an apostle. But here, that's the reason why they knew Matthias was, they wasn't ignorant, they knew he was chosen. So where does Paul come in the picture? And he had to let them know that he, amen, didn't receive it of man, but he also received it of Jesus Christ personally. Amen. He wasn't commissioned by any assembly or council of the apostles. Only by Jesus Christ, having his mission immediately from Christ himself and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And let's go over and read it. Acts 22nd chapter. We're going to get right into the heart of it. We're laying the kind of a foundation here at the situation that Paul found at Galatia. A second trip over here to Galatia. But what he's seen wasn't there on his first missionary journey. Something had happened to certain members of that congregation. Let's get into it. Acts 22:12, talking about the calling of Paul. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, Acts 22:12, had the good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Galatians, the first chapter. Here Paul is defending himself. Amen. His authority. Amen. To be able to preach the gospel. Acts 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of things was going on at Galatia that caused the apostle to put forth a strong rebuke against this congregation. Now the apostle Paul is coming on very, very strong in this rebuke. You bear with me this morning. Paul was concerned that certain ones in the congregation were not advancing as they ought. And he wrote to awaken those who had been deceived and were going backward instead of forward as they should. We want to take a look at this condition at Galatia and see if it applies to us today. Let's just see if it applies to what's going on today, many congregations. First of all, some were not as spiritual as they once was. And he names it out. Go with me to Galatians, the third chapter, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect, or are ye now advancing by the otherwise the works of the flesh? The word bewitched means charmed or misled into disobedience by those in the congregation. The Judaizers who still want to hang on to the law, those in the congregation, and they were fleshly, so-called fleshly, if you want to call them Christians, okay. But they no longer were under the control of the Spirit of God as they once were. And they were affecting other Christians in the congregation. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? God started you in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect, or are you advancing by the flesh? Begun or started in the Spirit. But now that congregation he saw was trying to finish up in the flesh by bringing teachings of the law into the midst. And not only bringing it in, but required and not accepting other Christians unless they adhered, amen, to that teaching of the law. The flesh will drain every ounce of the Spirit of God from your experience with God if you're not careful. The flesh will cause you to commit sin if you're not awful careful. What slowed the Galatian church down spiritually? Having started in the Spirit, Paul testifies for them. They started in the Spirit. Things were going great. What brought that congregation, or some in the congregation, down to a slow crawl and not as spiritually advancing as they ought? Well, let's read it. Let's go back to Galatians, the third chapter. Let's go to verse number 1 and read it. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you or charmed you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You notice what Paul said. He didn't say what, amen, had bewitched you, but who? Who? Who was the individuals that got you switched over from being spiritual to being fleshly? If there's a sin that God hates, it's one of those that's listed in the book of Proverbs. Let's get into it. Proverbs 6:19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The tongue has caused more people, more problems in the church, caused more people to lose out in the Church of God congregation than any other sin. It could go up against any sin. That's the reason why there's so much in the Word of God about it. How can you tell when the tongue has worked on ones in a congregation? It's very easy. If you got any discernment at all, you can tell when the tongue's working. Why? Their countenance is gone. The brightness of the spirit loses its glow. Genesis 4 and 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, something lies at the door. Sin. And unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. Salvation brings a bright countenance. The Spirit of God makes one's countenance shine. But when one's been involved, what he should not be, their countenance begins to go down. Come on, I know what I'm I've been around long enough to know some of this. What else happens? What else happens many times? Ones get a little bit cranky. A little bit spiffy. More difficult to get along with. They're not as friendly. And they don't mix with the saints like they once did. They don't testify anymore. They move their position. What else? They look sad. Turn with me, Luke the 24th chapter. Stay with me, I won't be long. Luke 24:13. On the road to Emmaus now, behold, two of them that same day to a village went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And as they talked together of all those things which had happened. Now they were, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near, and he evidently walked along with them. He went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now listen to what he said to them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? How come you're so sad? They were discussing things which took place. Amen. It didn't happen exactly the way they thought it should. And they thought there was turmoil going on, and they were sad as they discussed it. Wrong communication makes one sad. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Wrong communications trouble the soul. Wrong communication will trouble the mind and cause you to doubt. It'll cause you to doubt where at one time you had no doubt. It'll also cause you to be unstable. Turn me to 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. We're going to read a little bit about the man of God. He come out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day. He gave a saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Now, this man of God had a message, and he had a message to deliver. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And the hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign, or the word, which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered, and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. I'm reading quite a few verses, just a few more. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went. He obeyed that call. He went another way and returned not by the way he came. He said, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. The man of God was firm in his convictions, and he seemed unmovable. Amen. He's talking to a King Jeroboam, and he flat out let the king know, you're not going to move me. I'm going to do exactly what God told me to do. But the devil always has somebody around, amen, to do some convincing. And that devil had somebody who would be more convincing, amen, than Rehoboam. 1 Kings 13:11. Let's read a little bit. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. There's your first sign right here. There dwelt an old preacher in Bethel. And his sons, the preacher had sons, came and told him all the works the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his son had seen which way the man of God went, which came from Judah. Well, he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. What did he do? He went after the man of God. Found him resting or sitting under an oak. He said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, eat bread. Now listen to what he says. He still got the message in his mind. Amen. He said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again, amen, to go by the way that thou camest. Now the devil really begins to turn it on. He said unto him, I'm a prophet. I'm a minister too. I'm a minister. I'm just like you are. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So what happens? The man gets influenced. The prophet gets influenced. So he went back with him. He didn't eat bread in the house, drink water. Came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. Amen. Now the truth is going to come out. Why? Because God's moving on him now. God's giving him the words to say now. And he cried unto the man of God that came to Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, had eaten bread and drunk water in the place, of the which the Lord did say, to thee eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchres of thy fathers. Now he's speaking the truth. What to remind you of? Balaam. That was going to curse Israel. And God moved on him, and the truth came out. And he blessed Israel instead. Oh, you know the rest that took place. A lion met him on the way and killed him. Now, you know a lion is not going to leave a horse standing there. Amen. While he just takes out one of the objects. He's going to take them all out. The horse standing and the man of God was slain by the lion. He listened to a man who said he was a prophet. Ones are listening today to ones who say they are a minister. But I want to look at another point before we begin to close. Paul pointed out that the Galatian brethren were moved by another gospel. We pointed that out to you. On July, now a lot of you here are not going to remember this time. Just those that lived back in that era. On July the 1st, 1972. Do you remember it? We're at the old barn. A message was preached in the old barn by Brother Emerson Wilson. Do you know what the title was? Who can tell me? When Does Sin Appear? Remember that message? Probably most of you don't remember. Most of you probably weren't even born yet. When does sin appear? Every one of you should get that tape. Every single one of you. The message made the truth so clear and clear on a doctrine that brought God's people out of confusion. You remember it, Sister York? Remember it? Yes, Sister. These ones over here can remember. I'm not going to worship, and I'm not going to support a congregation that teaches something I was delivered out of. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to teach or support somebody who teaches two works of grace when I've been delivered out of it. Why would I? I'm walking behind light. Treat people right, absolutely. Maybe even attend their service or fellowship them. Visit with them. But I'm not going to go there and they're not going to be my pastor. Why? I got more light than they got. To do it, you've got to walk behind light. Amen. Enjoy their fellowship. But to support that doctrine, when I know better, will what? Would make me a transgressor. Let's read it in the Bible. Let's read it. Galatians 2:18, for I build again, or bring those things back again, which I destroyed, or got light on. I make myself. Nobody else made me that. I made myself a transgressor. If I've destroyed that doctrine or teaching from my living for God, then I'm not going to go back and pick it up again. And I have a real problem. Might as well let it all go ahead of me. A real problem with people attending this congregation and advertising somebody else's congregation. That's unethical. Unethical. I never heard tell of such a thing. If you're going to advertise your congregation, go to their congregation. Amen. Amen. Just like me being married to my wife, I say, honey, I love you, but I'm going to tell you, there's another wife over here that I think looks real good too. Maybe I'll visit her once in a while. Foolishness. Why would anybody attend the Church of God congregation and advertise somebody else's congregation? Unethical. And I guarantee you it'll come right back on you one of these days if you don't drop it and get off that amen. Get off that song or dance. God help us as a congregation. Never get moved by what another congregation comes. Somebody said, well, they're a good preacher. So wasn't Billy Graham. Billy Graham moved more people than some of these other people. But he preached something false. Billy Graham could preach, and you know he could. When he started out, I mean to tell you, he laid it out. He had those crusades. Amen. And I know he got off doctrinally wise. Amen. He got off in many points. But nevertheless, he was a good preacher. And he could move people. He had a good voice. He had all those things. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm not going to support somebody that teaches something I have been delivered out of. I have been delivered from two works of grace. And I'm not going to go back and plop it up again. And if somebody does, there's something wrong in their soul. Amen. This is on social media, I hope. Amen. I hope it's went all over the United States. Amen. God help us. As we close, ones at Galatia were troubled. Troubled. And I hate to see people troubled. Their countenance down, their sadness come upon them. And let me say this much. If you ever want to be, ever desire the office of a pastor or office of an evangelist or a teacher, you must be a follower first. Before you can lead, you have to follow. Be submissive. Amen. And be an example to the flock. If you're here and you're troubled, don't stay that way. Somebody said you're getting right after us. No, no, it's just a warning. I feel it's my duty as a watchman on the wall to do some warning. I might need that water before I'm through down there. But it's just a warning on how the devil works. Don't let somebody upset you in the congregation. I don't care how close they are to you. This man that moved the other guy, who moved the prophet, the man of God, was a prophet. That's about as close as you can get. That's about a higher ranking member of the church that you could get. A prophet. But he lied. He lied. But he was so convincing that he moved the man of God. And the only time he spoke the truth is when really, not an angel, but God spoke to him and spoke to him. He spoke the truth. If you're here and you're troubled, All I ask you to do is pray about it. Move up in your experience. Get back where you once were. Amen. God wants to help you. And he'll be right there. Amen. To bring you right back. Amen. Where your countenance is shining out again. And the sadness has left your heart.